Okay, so we're live and we'll cut out this part, but generally the way I do this, and I was telling John, it's just a conversation.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
I don't have an agenda. I don't like, if you have an agenda, that's fine. Like if you want to say, this is what we do, I want to hear all that. But essentially what I want to hear is I want to hear your story.
Yeah.
Like I kind of start in the middle, and the middle is where you are now. Like, so you're at Heartfelt Productions.
Yeah, right.
How'd you get there? Like, what led you to this point? And then we go back a little further to like, okay, Brandon, what was it like as a kid growing up in SoCal or wherever you grew up?
Yeah.
That kind of thing. And then we kind of go forward to what you're doing now, and then we go to the future. And I used to say the beginning, middle, and end, and everybody was like, the end sounds so ominous.
Yeah.
No. Where do you want to go after you do this? Like, what do you want your legacy to be? Or even what do you want to do in a year? Where do you want to be? That's kind of
Exactly.
right in where we start.
And as
So,
we talk, questions come. So exactly.
We're ready.
We're excited.
So, generally I read, like a very brief intro. I don't have a lot, so I might just type that in later.
Okay.
So we'll
We can
just
start off
talk.
by saying we met at the Michael Zuber event. Whatever
Yeah,
you want to do,
yes.
we'll follow
Yeah,
your
yeah.
lead.
Okay. So essentially I'll start right now. I'll cut in like a bio, and John, I want to get a bio from you too, because I have a brief one for Brandon based on his Instagram and stuff.
Gotcha.
But it's very brief. It's to the
Yeah.
point. It's totally cool, but I'd like to get yours too. And then I'll mash them together.
Yeah,
Okay.
his is a good one.
Yeah, I know. He and I talked for, I don't know, an hour or two
God,
one
it
day
was
about just
great.
baseball.
Yeah, all
It
right.
was
Oh,
pretty
that's
cool.
fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah,
Definitely. Sweet.
I'm not a fan anymore because I've just gotten away from like watching sports and stuff, and it's too freaking expensive to go to a game nowadays. I
You
can't
know
take
what
my
we?
family,
Yeah.
But I was a huge fan in the 70s and 80s when, Reggie Jackson was my guy.
Baseball. That was
Yeah.
a, for us,
It
that was the
was,
best time. Oh my God.
yeah. And I mean, I even watched, and I thoroughly enjoyed when, Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa were doing their thing. I
Oh my
thoroughly
gosh.
enjoyed watching Barry Bonds before and after
So did we. Yeah.
EDs.
We were pissed when they
I don't give
lost
a
World
crap
Series,
what they
though.
use. I mean, Charles Barkley, different sport, but he said many years ago, we shouldn't be your role models, your parents should be. And that's
Yeah,
right.
true.
Athletes shouldn't be role models. I mean, I guess some of them are.
Yeah.
I think you're barking up the wrong tree because it's a different thing. You do what you have to do to be competitive, right?
Yeah, look at
And some
Betrayas.
people do it and some people don't. And the people that do it, the people who don't usually don't make it. And that's just the way it
It
goes.
is,
Because
yeah.
you're not competing on a level playing field.
100%. Oh yeah,
Yeah.
and then that goes into, my dad, like growing up, I played baseball, but his backstory was he played professional baseball with the San Francisco Giants organization,
Yeah.
and
Yeah. My
baseball was
backyard.
right, unreal. And baseball was, I played college ball and, never picked up a camera. And it's just with that competitive edge and just trying to find something, I got a degree, but wasn't happy the 9 to 5, and just finding something competitive that you can do and just that you're passionate about. And we have found that here, the father and son team, and he retired from real estate. And it's just,
literally 5 years ago, it was in January, I retired for 1 week. And Brandon comes back from school and said he got involved in his church in the media team. And he said, you know what? I really want to start something. So we talked to my wife and I and Brandon. We sat down and we said, let's start a company, a production company. And she goes, it's got to be a Heartfelt name. That's how Heartfelt Productions started. I told Brandon, I'll give you 1 year. Being retired from real estate, I love people, love being around positive thinking people. And Brandon and I both played baseball at a high level. And we turned that work ethic that we had in baseball into working and grinding every day. Remember, we used to go to real estate offices, give a one-day seminar on social media. How do you get on social media? We did this for free. Picked up one or two clients from that.
And I think that was at the beginning part. Like,
yeah.
When we first started, like, no experience, right? Never picked up camera before, went to church, and I was learning. I was like, this is really cool telling these stories. I saw social media evolving.
Yeah.
And I was actually around, you know, Sean Cannell was there at, you know, Zuber's event. And yes. He was actually at the time doing meetups.
Think Media
meetups, where there was 20, 30, 40 people there. And I was like, I was watching YouTube and I was like, this guy's in Vegas. And this is something where I want to go. So I started learning from him, going to these meetups, getting involved in his inner circle, and just see where he's been. And reminder, like when we started this company, people told my dad and my mom, why productions? You can't do that. That name's way too big. You don't know anything about him.
Correct.
And yeah. It's something, like you said, you grow into, right? That was the vision. Like, this is where we want to grow into a production company, but learning along the way, because all this technical stuff, storytelling, editing, you know, building relationships, it takes time as a small business owner. And me and my dad went back and forth, and, you know, it was funny because I'm the millennial, new school, and he had all this old school.
Yeah, baby number.
Talk about that.
You know, it was really one of the things, just before I go back to that, is we used to listen to motivation. Eric Thomas, T.D. Jakes, you know, just all the big guys. And they always talk about one thing. You've got to have the passion, the drive, but you have to grind every single day. Mm-hmm. And the one thing that stuck out in my mind is that you grind every day, good things do happen. You absolutely learn. You can't take it to heart. You literally have to learn, fail, and build up again and continue and motivate each other. Our biggest struggle was, in the beginning, I was the business guy. I did contracts. I did this. And I was always trying to tell Brandon, we got to do it this way. And he said, literally, why? And we really had a pulling away for about a week. And I told my wife, I said, you know what? I've got to get my ego out of the way, pull back, let Brandon fail at certain things. And I remember him coming back, and it was tough because, you know, we had had that experience, but he came back. He says, you know what? I see part of your point. And I said, I see part of your point. And we finally had that common goal together, is that we wanted Heartfelt Productions to tell the heartfelt stories. He had the eye. He would learn every day, get on YouTube, read books, the motivation, the passion we talked about. And I wrote him a check for $100,000, put Boyd on it.
That's a slave.
I said, if we do this after a year, we grind, we prospect every day, go out and meet people. We volunteered for Make-A-Wish for 2 years, didn't get paid. We just finished our fifth year anniversary with them, which has led to just tremendous business. But we made that $100,000 that first year, and wow, he was blown away. Yeah. He was working for In-N-Out.
Oh, yes. And
but just talk about that.
No, I think, like, at the beginning point, it's like at the beginning, like he goes, here's $100,000. And being a baseball player, being, you know, athlete, like I grew up 24/7 at the cages, at the gym,
yeah,
working on my craft every day. And I think once that, you know, moment in life, that chapter closes, as, you know, a baseball player, that was what you were trained to do. You go to school, but that's really not your objectives. Hey, you just get a degree. But I think most of these athletes, they get out into the real world and like, what do they want to do? How can they succeed? Because our competitive nature is to, you know, go out there, grind, produce. And I fell in love with, you know, videography, telling these stories. And I was like, this is it. And we just put our heads together, and me and my dad were like, let's put this millennial and baby boomer together and really come together. And we have been doing this, you know, 3-4 years now, where we're feeding off each other.
Yeah.
Where it's his, he has the experience. I have the experience on the camera side now. And with his business knowledge, and then with my professional, you know, knowledge with all this videography stuff, it just, it's really been, you know, incredible just to see our journey. Because without me or my dad, we wouldn't be here, because it just has escalated us to another level, because we could work faster in the business.
Well, yeah, I mean, you guys are like perfect examples of what synergy is, right? It's like plus one is greater than two.
Yeah.
You know, you bring stuff to the table, you bring stuff to the table, John, and when you put them together, it's more than what you just know. It's kind of like that synergy that, like, you play off each other. And too many times in business, you either try to do it alone or try to do it with a partner, but oftentimes the partner is just like you. They don't bring anything extra to the table.
Right.
And I'm not saying that to, like, and your business partner, but you guys got to bring different things to the table and kind of like make that puzzle fit together in a better way than just two guys doing the same thing isn't very effective. You know, you can have two companies.
So, exactly. Yeah. And that's what I've noticed, where, you know, other people in our circle, is if they have a business, but they're doing the same thing. You got to have, like, for me, I learned this. I was filming at Aaron Pertipile. And we were at this convention. And
COS.
We were EOS.
And EOS, sorry.
And we're very blessed. And this really stuck to me. Visionary and integrator. Visionaries are the people that go out, let's do things, let's just sit everywhere and just, like, make things happen. And the integrator is like, let's take a step back here. Let's get everything structured. Let's get everything detailed and organized. Like, for me, I'm a big time visionary, where I'm go. And then my dad has that integrator aspect, where he's like, okay, let's slow things down here. This is what we need for this part. This is what we need for this, you know, other section of the business. And we have just been able to feed off that. And we're still working on that with the company. Like, you know, we have a team of about 5 guys here now, and we're bringing their leadership skills so we can build, you know, the company within, where everybody's a leader. But, you know, trying to find those integrators are tough to find as a business owner, where somebody can just handle everything by themselves when you're going out to create content.
You can't. And I think one of the things, Bill, is we were looking at it the wrong way. You know, we wanted to find somebody to help us, and we just sit down with them and we say, hey, we want to build this team that everybody believes and works hard and, you know, succeeds. So what we have learned just by reading books and talking, being in these mastermind groups, like where we met with Michael Zuber, incredible minds sharing ideas with anybody. And we're firm believers. I believe you would agree with me. If you implement things with, you know, and not just throw it on the wall, you'd have sound systems, and you follow it, and you evaluate it, and you restructure it, eventually you'll find that center point where you're going, this is working. Now you say, okay, let's add this to it. But now what we found, you know, working with a lot of different owners, like a couple of our videographers own their own companies, we're finding strength in numbers. As far as conventions, bringing everybody adds their own value. They feel appreciated, you know, taken care of. We feel like, wow, this is great. That's what we're building here. But they got to at least buy into the model of Heartfelt Productions. We're not going to do anything that's unethical. Just, you know, we want to keep it and create and keep learning and growing and sharing and coaching others.
That's great. That's great. Well, when I was there in Vegas a couple of weeks ago, I was really impressed with your operation. I mean, everybody had a place. The technology looked amazing. I usually geek out on that stuff a little bit more, but I had my own thing to do, so I couldn't really, like, explore what you guys were doing. But it looked, I mean, you guys have some equipment, you've got the setup. It was pretty amazing. So kudos to you for doing all that in just a few years. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, thank you, Bill. And you know, so I'll break down kind of how we got that, right? Yeah. So the storytelling. You know, being in Sean Cannell's group, like on YouTube University, like Think Media. And then you have Omar El Takori. And these two guys, like if you go on their YouTube channel, he has over 2.5 million subscribers. And basically from everything that we did there, from the live stream to the podcasts, and we had, you know, we were running the FX6 into the Zoom recorder, recording that live online with two different camera angles, and Nick was running the switcher. And, you know, for the podcast station, we had the same thing. Tyler was on the switcher with three different camera angles. And when you start to think back, it's like, we're looking at this, I'm seeing this all come together. It's because I've been in the best, I would say, Vegas has some of the best creative minds in, I would say, the country, in the world. Because if you look at Sean's, his team, I think he has 30 people now. If you look at Ryan Pineda's team on the media side, we help film Sean's, we help film Ryan's, and they're doing the same thing. And the funny thing is, we all go to the same church, and we're doing this at City Light Las Vegas Church. And you just see all the avenues starting to pop up in the creative entrepreneur space, because everybody is together. Everybody's building something great. And when you have that, you start seeing like, oh, wow, like people are doing big things here. And with video is a great avenue where now more people can hear your stories, hear your voice. And it provides more value to the people out there.
100%. I mean, you guys both met Bo. He's my client. We've been together for like 12 years now, 13 years. And just a funny kind of backstory to that. I don't want this to be about me. It's about you. But just real quick, because we're all intertwined, right? And everything's interrelated. Two important points. I'll try to remember the second point, because I'll probably forget it because I'm going to get caught up in this first one. But I told Bo in 2010, 2011. So he was coming to my meetups. And it was a small meetup in a small town. So I'd have 12 to 20 people there in, you know, like some diner. And I was telling everybody in 2010, 2011, gotta do video. You gotta do video.
Right.
Nobody was doing video. You got to do video. And I just kept hammering it home. And my whole idea was, it's better. It's always better to meet people in person. There's just a connection. There's that tactile. There's that handshake. There's the, I can read the body language. I can hear the inflection of your voice better. I can see in three dimensions. I can only see you guys in two dimensions right now, right? So
we can get crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. But the closest you can get without being in front of somebody, and this really, really hit home during COVID, right, is video. It's the next best thing to meeting somebody in person.
It is.
Because it's still two-dimensional, but I get to see you. I get to see what's going on. I get to see the looks in your eyes, nodding of the head, kind of the little gestures that tell me, if you're an observer, that tell me you're not understanding what I'm saying, or I'm not saying it right, or maybe try a different way, or, you know, whatever. That whole thing was like, that was what I was trying to hammer home to everybody. And well, believe it or not, he did video. He did like one or two videos, put them up on YouTube, and he got found by HGTV, and he got a year-long series.
Right. Wow.
There you go. The second part of that story is Bo started doing meetups for real estate people, and he actually, you remember Ty?
Oh, yeah.
I've known him for 27 years.
Okay. Ty, Zuber, and Al. Forgetting the other guy.
I know you're talking about that. Amazing.
They met at Bo's meetup.
Wow.
And we got to the point where Bo's meetup became like REI Bar Camp, where it was like 300 people. And we had people speaking there, just kind of like this thing was. And it was like, it was that small little group of people who are now like everywhere. Right.
Right.
So it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. But just like you guys found, you know, Sean via a little meetup, and now he's 2 million subscribers or whatever.
Oh yeah. He's interviewing Dave Ramsey today. I saw on Instagram story. Like, incredible. Like, unreal.
Yeah. Yeah. We talked about that when we were there, and it was like, that's a big deal. And that's kind of a big shift in, like, because Dave Ramsey's like, he's old school. He grew up in, like, radio and, you know, the old media. And if you look at what he's doing now, he's made a hell of an evolution. And that's what it takes for all of us to be successful. Is just got to ride the wave, man. You got to see where the wave. I grew up in California, never surfed, but I know the analogy, right? The metaphor. It's like, you got to see the wave. You got to get on top of the wave and just ride it in. You know, we'll see anybody can surf. They get on top of the wave, at least for a minute, you know, a second or two. But that's what we got to do, right? We got to ride the wave. And when the next one comes, you know, you fall down, you swim back out, and you get on the next one. Well, what's the next one after video? I don't know. But it's
something.
It's going to be AI, I guarantee, where AI can auto-generate, like, what you're doing on Reels or what you're doing on YouTube, where you don't need to get the stock footage, where you could just say a prompt, hey, let's talk about, you know, what I'm doing. Hey, I'm at this convention. Can you add B-roll of the guests and put a voiceover? I think that could be possible. Have you seen the ones where AI, where it's basically you and they're just talking heads and with like a nice background? But that's the progression where you don't know what's coming.
Well, and pretty soon, well, it's already happening. You're right, but you can feed your own content. Like, if you're a blogger or if you're a videographer or whatever, you can feed your content to your own personal chatbot, and it learns everything about you. And we heard like 4 or 5 years ago that it only takes like 40 seconds for an AI to listen to you talking, 30 or 40 seconds, and they can like completely mimic your voice, and you almost can't tell the difference.
Yeah.
They hear the voice.
It's going to be that same way with video very, very soon. Right. Things are growing so rapidly. But the cool thing is, everybody looks at this as like, oh, AI is going to take my job, or it's going to ruin my business because people are going to be able to make videos without actually going out and that's not true.
Yeah.
There's always going to be that creative element. And the thing, the best statement I've heard about AI with respect to it taking your job or your career or your business is, how does it go? You know, a doctor who uses AI is going to take the business from the doctor who doesn't. Right. So AI is not going to take the job. Every doctor has the ability to like learn this stuff, and most of them won't. So the spoils go to those who like you said, John, who grind and learn. Every day is a learning experience. And if you're not learning, it's kind of, I feel like a lot of people, when they retire, they stop moving.
Yeah.
I feel like when you stop moving and you stop learning, you're just dying.
Yeah.
Well, Bill, when I turned 65, I retired. My wife and I, you know, said, let's get the truck. Let's get the camper. So I bought the truck, got a Ram. Haven't gotten the camper. Because I'm telling you what happens after that year, the motivation. My wife and I just celebrated 46 years yesterday. I turned 71 this January.
Congratulations.
And one of the things I've done is just start eating healthier. I have more energy. My wife has more energy. And I'm truly excited to see what Brandon's doing and his gifts. But I just want to go say something about, like you said, the video. And for people maybe wanting to get into this and say, gosh, Brandon used to look at people and go, how did that guy get so big? You know? But now we're seeing people say, how did you do it?
Yeah.
Always evaluate what you do. Every video. Why isn't this like somebody else's? the lighting's off. You know, you've got to buy a better lens, better camera, better audio. And as you go, you just keep buying that learning. And one instance, we got on Wedding Wire. We do weddings. One year we had 15 weddings. We go, how can we get more closing? How can we talk to more people? We implemented one thing, getting on a Zoom. Our closing ratio of about 20% went to about 65% with what you were saying.
It was 90%.
Really?
Yeah.
75%.
Yeah.
Wow.
But it literally, they saw us. They believed us, and we share, we live our name, Heartfelt Productions. We are there for you to capture your wedding vision.
Yeah, and Bill, I think like going off that, like with video too, is one of my friends, he has a mortgage company up in Oregon, or Washington. And he was talking about how video he uses to, you know, time is the most precious commodity, right? So he has made up videos where he could just send clients, hey, this is what I do. Oh, if somebody asks a question, he just sends that video to answer it. Yep. And that's what we've done in our wedding business and our production company. If anybody has an example of a video that says, hey, I want a wedding, hey, I want a corporate gig, hey, I want a sports drone, I have literally categories of 10, 20 videos that I can send each client. Is this what you want? Here's the behind the scenes video. Here's the YouTube video. And honestly, that closes them right then and there because they already see your product. Yeah. Then they see who you are behind in your personal brand. And then I go, here's my Instagram. And, you know, from this doing this system about a year now, you know, just people in my DMs, people that are, you know, in my emails now, I'm just like, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? But it's because of those systems through video. If I go out, like we were here at the studio today, and he goes, Brandon, you get the video. You haven't sold anything on your videos. So all you're doing is providing value.
Value.
You are bringing, you know, you're being authentic to who you are, and people see that. Yeah. And, you know, Sean was saying when he was doing the podcast at, you know, Zuber's event, he goes, 2024 is the year of being authentic on video. People are starting to get, you know, they want that authentic person, you know, through video instead of like, who are you? Are you with a Lambo? Are you with a, you know, in front of the house or whatever people say.
Yeah.
But it's on authenticity, you know, being authentic. Yeah, being authentic. And, you know, a lot of things on social media now are kind of going back to the long form content because everybody's kind of sick of everything so quick, so quick, so quick. People want to kind of slow down and watch these YouTube videos and get to know you and your story, not just like 30 seconds of what you're doing, but they want to know you as a person.
Just to give you a quick example, we had an email the other day, yesterday, and she said, look, before I sell you to my boss, just tell me what your rates are. And I just emailed that. I can't tell you. I said, we need to get on a Zoom call. We need to find out what you really need to build your brand for your company.
Yeah.
And we send out what we do that creates value. And then if it's too high, they adjust back certain things. But we never cut back on our quality by what we bring them. We would sacrifice ourselves and financially to build that relationship. We started out with two corporations 4 years ago. We're working with 29. And a lot of those people know each other and they refer us. Yeah. But the reason they use us is because we take care of them. We literally, if we love the video we've created, we believe 99% of the time they're going to love it. Because we listen to them. They tell us what they want. And our goal is to create that emotion that if somebody wasn't at the event, they're going to feel like they were, you know, and touch their hearts, their souls, that they want to be involved in that company for a reason.
And I think, you know, with video on that aspect, it's just like, you know, what we do, like, as we get to capture these moments in time. Like, video is, like, I started on YouTube, and it's just like, when you look back at videos in the past, it's cool because now you're kind of documenting your life, right?
Yep.
And you can look back at these conversations that we're having, and it's cool to see the growth.
Yeah.
Like right. with everybody. And you could always look back and somebody's like, how did you get here? I could send them my first video I ever did and say, here's the process. Here's the journey. You know, you just got to stay true to the process. Right. And, right. you know, I just think like video on just like not a business standpoint, but documenting your life yeah. where it's just, it's cool. Like imagine like 20, like, you know, when we have a family and you can look back at these memories, you know, and just press a link of a button and just like see that for the first time. That's, yeah. that's what excites me too.
And, yeah. and one key, Bill, is get your ego out of the way. Do boom, boom. Not bring an arrogance. Bring your confidence. But leave your arrogance and ego out of the way. People don't want that. Stand your ground for what is right. I mean, we do that. But we're not going to argue with somebody. You know, I mean, if they say, ah, you're this and that. Let's say, you know what? We just feel your generosity of what people do for you. We get fed more than you know, what we do for them. We feel we get.
And Bill, to go off of like video light, like the reason why I think we have, like going back to our earlier conversation, the reason why I think we have been able to grow so fast is because I've been able to be in these mastermind groups.
Yeah, definitely.
Where it's like $10,000 a ticket. You know, $2,000, $3,000 of the top entrepreneurs in the country and what they're preaching and how they're teaching, you know, their attendees, and we're filming this. Right. It's just like, I think that's kind of like the cheat code where we got to go to school for another 3-4 years.
Absolutely.
You know, just like yeah. Zuber's event where you're just sitting there and you're like, that's a golden nugget.
Oh my.
You get to see how other people in the industry are doing things. And you're like, oh, I can implement that in our business. And
yep.
I bet you have seen that as well. Like, tell us about your experience well, as well with that.
I'm doing that right now. This right? podcast is, I get probably as much out of it as anybody else does. Because yeah. I get to talk to the people I want to talk to. And I get to learn from them. And I get to get those gold nuggets that I wouldn't get because I wasn't talking to you.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I've heard a lot of podcasters say this. They're like, I'm doing this for me. I'm like asking the questions I want to ask, the questions I want to have answered. And, you know, I'm a pretty common, simple guy. Like if I have questions, so does a million other people. So they yeah. want to hear it. So yep. it's providing benefit and value to people, but I'm doing it for a selfish reason too, because I dig it and I'm getting something out of it.
Exactly. And 100%, like I just started like here at the video around the studio, I was like, I want to learn because I see what everybody else is doing. Like you just said, through podcasting and, you know, all these successful business owners. And I'm like, I want to learn from them. Like come down the studio, like, I'll interview you, and we've yeah. done like 3 already this year. And what you get out of the podcast, yeah. people think, oh, I'm going to do podcasting, I'm going to get sponsors. But honestly, like today, Bill, like podcasts are relationship builders.
Totally. Yes.
Like yes. what you get out of it is like, we get to have this conversation. Amazing. And it's building our relationship. We get to know you. We get to understand.
Right.
You get to understand what we're doing. We're understanding what you're doing. And I think a lot of people look at podcasting wrong, like, oh, why am I not getting views? Why is this not going? But mm-hmm. they don't see the value in the communication, like just us having a conversation with you. Like that's gold right there.
One right. of the things also that when I was filming Bo, you know, I was in real estate 37 years. We had our investment properties, not to the level of Zubers, but we got rid of all those. We retired. Then he starts talking about small business ownership. And I'm thinking food chains, In-N-Out, McDonald's. He starts talking about the guy that runs this laundromat knows what he's doing. you're just kind of behind the scenes. You invest in it. And it just went off. And I said, I need to talk to you. We're going to be talking. I think he's coming down here in 3 to 4 weeks, right here where we're sitting.
Okay.
But just that one little nugget that he got me. I'm 71. I don't want to have the rentals anymore. We had them, you know, but a small business.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm digging what we're doing here. It's just, it's fun. The people we meet, we get to be around these huge thinkers. And it's not about working with people who don't believe the way you do, but it's just, it's amazing.
Like, it's so funny because it's like the rooms I was in after Zuber's event, like we went to another event, and I don't know if you know Jay Papasan from Keller Williams. And who's Gary Keller?
Gary Keller. And he has 17,000 agents at this convention. His keynote speaker was Tony Robbins. Mm. Brandon and I were both 10 feet away from
him. And I'm filming him. And, you know, also Cody Sanchez was there. I was in behind scenes with her.
Yeah, unbelievable.
You know, just these big powerhouse names in the entrepreneur space. And I'm like, literally just filming the content behind the scenes, learning from them. And I'm just like, man, like hearing their stories and just how they started. It's just, they started, they took action
and failed,
but created those relationships, but learned from those mistakes to get better each and every day. And when when I look back, I'm like, man, everything that has come up to this point of, you know, hard work, failure, it's just grinding and adjusting each and every, you know, every step of the way. Because I got this DM the other day. This kid goes, I've been watching your journey, you know, 4 years ago, how you started. And he goes, how are you so busy? Are you lowering your rates? Are you, just taking on every gig? Are you doing this, doing that? And I go, no, it's because those quality relationships, we showed up.
Number one.
We provided the value. And then as people continue to grow, just like you were talking about, your circle continues to rise and everybody continues to rise with
you. And you know, I completely respect what Tony Robbins has done, and I know that he's like helped billions of people, but I'm not, like I said before, I'm a simple, uncomplicated guy. And one of the things that I've learned throughout my life is there's been a few things, obviously, but one of the things you learn is what you don't like to do and what you don't want to do.
Yep.
Yes. And that helps you like focus, because why would I do something I don't want to do? That doesn't make any sense. So let's not do that anymore. And the other, one of the other things is, and has to do with failure. I hate the word failure because it's so negative, but if you're going to use it, just remember that failure isn't final, right?
And there's different stages of failure.
And that is a big word. I see what you're saying there.
Yeah, it's not final. It's more like, it's kind of like if you're a captain of a ship, and obviously you don't want to run into, you know, a sandbar or rocks or whatever, but it's kind of like failure just tells you which way to go. Like, where do you course correct? You know, what did I do? What did I do that wasn't like optimal? How can I do that better? And you always have to kind of like reflect back on, okay, that was a huge, even with the huge successes, there are many failures in there, right? Like what went wrong here? How could I avoid that next time? How could I make that more ideal? You know, I think that introspection helps, and it's a whole idea. There are people who think in terms of like revolution.
Yep.
And I just think in terms of iteration. It's like, how can I make this 1% better, 10% better? I'm not trying to reinvent the wheel here. I'm just trying to make the wheel better. So there are so many opportunities out there. You don't have to be like perfect. You just have to like listen to people. And business is really give people what they want.
Show up.
It's give people what they want, you know, like, it's just doing what they want to do. Like with the videos, it's like, you know, what do you want for your brand, for your business, and how can we create it? And then it's that simple. And then but you know, you have to figure out how to create it. So
I think it was T.D. Jakes that said in one of his books, you have to find a need that somebody has. You have to fill that need and bring that value. And I'm telling you, the people that are just starting out in this, my broker 37 years ago, I went to him. I quit my job as a manager of a grocery store. I was fed up. I wasn't fulfilled. And I told my wife, and I said, you know what? I'm going to try this real estate. My dad was a broker. And my broker, the first day, says, knock on every door. Ask them, do you know anyone that wants to buy and sell a house in the next 3 months? Third door, I got a yes, got the listing. Then he said, you need to have a mentor. And it was Mike Ferry. You know Tom Ferry, Mike Ferry. Very controversial. And you had just mentioned it, like with Tony Robbins.
Yes.
He was so strong for me. I'm a relationship guy. But I took three things. He said, number one, prospect every day. I knock doors or phone calls for 8 hours a day. And he said, the third one is lead follow-up. Those three things made me, I think I sold 50 homes my first year. 45 or 50 homes, because I didn't know any different. I was just, okay, I'm just going to knock doors. I had a smile. And, you don't know anybody? I started working a farm. It's consistency. Every day, track your numbers. You know, let people know that you really care about them. You want them. And they saw that. And you can't hide that.
One day I want to introduce you guys to this guy I know. Super successful real estate investor. His name is Vinny, and he's from India. And when he came to America, he had $7 in his pocket. And he sold encyclopedias and Bibles door to door during his, he was getting his MBA at some school back east. But he would work like 15 or 16 hours. They would literally drop him off in a van in the neighborhood, and he would walk around with all the books for like 16 hours in the summer. And he would just, he got real good at getting inside people's homes in a legal, ethical way.
Well, that's why I felt sorry for him. He's still hot.
But that's how he learned how to sell. Yeah. That's how he learned like motivational speaking and all that kind of stuff. And now he has assets under management of over $1 billion.
Oh, yeah. So? It's funny, he's from India and he's selling Bibles. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there are so many opportunities, and too many of us get caught up in, that's too hard, that's too complicated. Yeah. And it's like, you just go back to Nike, just do it. Be your first customer. Just do that. Don't quit your job, just get your first customer, and then see if you can duplicate that.
Yeah,
exactly. You know? And that's it. Like, right there, it's duplication. Like, people, I feel like they get so caught up in like how I'm going to be able to do it. It's the uncertainty.
Yeah.
Like my fear.
My fiance, you know, goes, how do you do it? You don't know who's going to email next, your next shoot. You don't know, you know, what's going to happen. But hers is, she's an attorney, so she's 5 days a week. But for me, it's like, I'm prospecting, I'm sending emails, I'm creating these relationships. We're building this together. People see us on social media. And when you continue to do that, people start to notice you're delivering high quality products to everybody that you're able to work with. And through that, like, it's crazy, from just that alone, like this year, I'm blessed like to be saying this, but from just word of mouth, we're filming in Hollywood, we're filming in Nashville, we're filming in Napa, we're filming in Texas. And this is nothing online, nothing. This is all word of mouth. People just saying they do a great job. The team does a great job. And we want them to film our events. We want them to film our weddings. And, you know, we're blessed to film the Las Vegas Aviators, you know, the AAA affiliates of the Oakland A's. And, you know, create their media for the scoreboard at the Las Vegas ballpark. And I'll tell you this story, how it happened. Like people go, how did you land the, you know, the Las Vegas Aviators?
Yeah, this is classic.
You know, I think the stadium was like 650 million, right? Oh, and
this, Howard Hughes.
This, yeah, this is how it happened. When we first started out, like I said, I didn't know anything about a camera, right? And my mom's like, you know what? You should take your camera to a job fair that the Las Vegas Aviators are doing at the Red Rock Casino. So I was like, you know what? Let's go make a video. And I had this little small Mavic, you know, Air at the time. Didn't know anything about the settings. Didn't know anything about the camera. But I went in there. I took action. I created the relationship with the head marketing director there. And he goes, oh, you created video. Can you send this into, you know, our HR department? So I sent it in. And that landed us a meeting with Howard Hughes in the Las Vegas ballpark. And the funny story is, we're sitting down there with, you know, Ashley and Heather, and you could...
This is... I told you I played 47 years ago, San Francisco Giants organization. And we're talking baseball. And I said, yeah, I played 47 years ago in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. She goes, oh, that's strange. My dad was in Cedar Rapids. What year? He was on my team.
Yeah.
He was a pitcher.
Wow.
She calls her dad, and the dad says, if you don't hire these guys, you're in trouble. That's how we got. I mean,
it's awesome.
Not luck. It's just, it was a God thing. I mean, it was, and so we've been with them for 5 years. We got to interview Ricky Henderson, who was,
so many guys. You know?
Just I love Ricky.
You know, Chris Bryant. We got to interview him.
Chris Bryant, like, you know.
And we're baseball guys. We love that. We're not afraid.
It's funny because I'll go back on my baseball. Like, my grade class, like 2009, they're at Palo.
Yeah.
Like, the guys that came up was Bryce Harper. We had Chris Bryant, Joey Gallo, Rickard.
All these guys, big leaguers.
Seawald, like all these guys are like 10, you know, Chase and Shreve, like all these guys made it to the big leagues from Vegas.
Yeah.
And it's just incredible to see that. But it's funny that, you know, how baseball and filmmaking kind of fell into that circle. Yeah. And that's kind of how our business got started, because from that on, we were doing consistent videos with them, you know, every week. So that got us the income to start building. And then we were, you know, doing that. And then we were like, I was working for other companies at the time and learning from the best in the industry while I was doing the Aviator stuff. But it's just the power of one person or the power of one corporation can change the entirety of, you know, your career. You know, if you, like, if there's other videographers out there that, you know, get a chance to film like a top entrepreneur and follow them around.
Good for
you. You know,
get the knowledge.
It's just, that's the power of, you know, just one opportunity, but it's learning the camera, learning the settings. And then you just never know who's going to come knocking on your door and say, hey, I want you to travel with me for a year just to shoot content. Like, that's huge nowadays, where tons of videographers are just getting hired out from like Gary Vee or, you know, all these other guys where they're just following them around and creating content.
Brandon, just tell, this is, you got to hear this. With David, Sean Cannell calls us, calls you.
That's funny stories. So like I said, like, you never know who you're going to film, right? But it's just being on top of things. Patrick Bet David, he was, you know who he is?
Yeah.
So he was here in Las Vegas. And Sean calls me. He's like, hey, do you want to meet me at the private airport? Patrick Bet David decided he wants to do a podcast in his private jet right before. Do you have any equipment? I was filming a mastermind at the time.
And we were heading home.
Got my light, ran to the airport, but, you know, and delivered a 45-minute podcast. It was epic, incredible memories. But that's the power of, you know, just building these relationships. And I think another thing is, like, in the beginning, like, too many people, like a good friend of mine, you know, bought the best gear, bought, you know, $10,000 to $20,000 of gear.
credit like, cards.
Brandon, I love what you're doing. It must be your gear. So he went out and bought an FX6. He went out and bought a Sony A7S3. All the, I was like, he was coming into these shoots and I'm like, man, you have like incredible gear. This happened, you know, 5 years from me building it up. And he just started like a year.
Yeah.
And then he realized it wasn't the gear.
Yeah.
He goes,
yeah,
I didn't know it wasn't the gear. But it was the relationships. And he's right. Like, he's scaling back now. Because of that, and he's learning along the way, you know, yeah. Young kid,
21,
you know, but just
going to be great.
He's going to be incredible, but people got to remember.
You need the reps, Bill. You need the reps.
It's a marathon, that's, not a sprint.
You know,
that's super, super important you got to do the reps, man. I have four young kids. Well, one's 18, one's 16, yeah. And the other two are pretty young, but it's like I keep telling them, you know, what my oldest kid and I go to the gym together and we lift weights, and I've lifted weights since I was 12 years old. And,
yeah.
It's something I've just always done, and I get jazzed from
it. I love it.
So I take him and I'm trying to teach him a few things and whatnot. And it's like I told him, like, life is just like lifting weights. It really is. Sometimes you fail. Sometimes you succeed.
Right.
You always get better,
yeah.
But you got to do the reps because you grow. Like if you're trying to build muscle, which he is, you don't grow because of the first six reps. You grow because of the last two or three, but you can't do the last two or three without doing the first six. So you got to do the reps. Just do them, get them out of the way and get to the hard ones. You can't just dive in and do two really hard reps. That's going to hurt you. You got to do the reps, though. You got to do the ones that precede that they build the foundation for you to get there. Another thing that I wanted to say about your friend who bought all the gear, that to me is like classic. I can go buy that Formula F1 car and I could drive it just like that guy can. No, you can't.
Yep.
No, you can't.
Exactly.
You know, there are guys out there who are awesome photographers and videographers.
Yep.
Just use a phone.
That's it.
That's what they can do better than me with a $20,000 piece of gear.
Yeah.
They have the eye and they have the experience.
Yep.
But how do you get the eye?
It's just doing the right
experience.
Yeah.
It's like for me, like every day learning my craft and, you know, I start on my phone. Like I was filming different event videos on a phone at the beginning and I bought a $60 mic and put it on the phone so I would have better audio. And it's just,
and you have that little gimbal or a stand.
It comes down to like in 2024, I think it's storytelling, right?
Yes.
Like that's something that me and our company strive for. It's not like the B-roll. It's not, you know, but it's the storytelling. Like I've really have watched a lot of videos and a couple years ago where it was like the B-roll was in like this epic cinematic stuff and everybody was doing it. And then I was like, oh, that's cool. So started doing that. And then I realized like, there's no emotion. If you're not interviewing somebody, if you're not hearing their story, let's get you on film. Tell us about this event, why you're here, what you're doing, how you're inspiring your community. And I think I just sent a video to a client that we just did yesterday. And I was telling her at the event, you need somebody to talk. And her response was like, oh my gosh, I absolutely love that. I never thought about that in that light. And she's like, it brought so much emotion to the film. And I think like, Bill, you would agree with this as videographers, filmmakers, I think it's our objection to tell these stories because we have a gift and to share these stories through the lens.
Our obligation.
Yeah.
Tell these stories.
Yeah. For sure. A lot of people need help telling their story. Their story is their story. Nobody else could tell it the way they do, but you got to like kind of pull the threads and get them on the right path. And you could do that with the work you do. But everybody has a story and they should tell it because
everybody.
I find damn near everybody interesting. So.
Right.
So do we.
Doesn't matter what they're doing.
Yeah. And that's the same thing. That's why, you know, the podcasting, it's always learning. Like, I'm always curious about how did they get there? What's their story? Yeah. Like, I'm like, when we're filming at these conferences, like Tony Robbins, I'm like, why can't I, you know, like next time I'm thinking, like, when I'm working with these organizations, I'm like, hey, can we just sit down for a podcast? Like, nobody, the thing is, like,
hey, Tony,
nobody else is doing it. So this is the thing. You go, you get to these organizations and like, nobody else wants to do it. So it's like, why not us? Like, I've seen so many entrepreneurs, like Lewis Howe, like he has his podcast and how he's been in the rooms, and he's just curious. Like, you know, how can I hear from you? And you're not going to tell me these guys or these women are not going to want to say, hey, this is my story. This is how I got inspired, you know, and sit down and talk.
Yeah.
You'll be shocked when a lot of people who have made it up here, stars, whoever you think has made it. All you have to do is go up, take the chance, just say, hey, love your story, read your book. Can I ask you a couple questions?
Yeah.
And sometimes they just, because you're not afraid, they gravitate.
I wouldn't say you're not afraid. It's like starstruck.
Yeah. Okay. That's better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what's the worst that could happen? Right. They say no, or they blow you off, or whatever, and it's like, that's where I was 5 seconds ago. You weren't talking to me, so, you know, it doesn't really hurt to ask. Now, if you're counting on it, that they're going to do something, and they don't, that's a different story. That could be a real big downer. But if you go in with, like, hey, what's the worst that could happen here, you know?
It's how you approach someone. You approach them with that respect that they deserve.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they can genuinely see that in your voice, in your face. But we just, you know, we just have fun.
And think about how you phrased it, though, right? You said, I approach this star and ask them about themselves. Not what's in it for me.
Correct.
Can you tell me, can you answer a few questions about yourself? People love talking about themselves.
Oh, they do.
But, you know, a lot of people are like, the one thing that I see entrepreneurs, especially the ones who are like kind of up and coming, is like, they'll go to you and they'll say, can I pick your brain? No, you can't.
Yeah.
No, you can't. But you can talk to me.
Yeah.
Oh, I get that. Like, I'm starting to get that, like, on my DMs where I'm like, pick them. I'm like, let's just have a conversation. Like, what's picking your brain?
What's the secret? Yeah.
You know, like,
you're in stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. It should be a two-way conversation, not a one-way conversation.
Yep. And, you know, what I've done too is like, I being a videographer and like a filmmaker, like, I get to listen. I am always listening. Like, we have our headphones in, interviewing, and you get to listen, you know, to just gold and, you know, these key points, how people got successful. And it's just, I always told somebody that was just starting out is when you become a filmmaker, it's, you have that direct access where most people are here. But as a filmmaker, you get to go to the direct person in any organization. You go straight through everybody to the top CEO, to the top entrepreneur, to the biggest people running, you know, million-dollar, whatever companies, because they want to be filmed. They want the content. And I think when it's just like, it's so cool when you have a camera, you just never know what's gonna happen and what you're gonna hear, what you're gonna capture.
Yeah.
And stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Very cool. So we have about 15 minutes before I have to hit the road. I would love to do this again, if that's okay with you guys.
Yeah, this
okay,
is
cool. Because we could do this for like 3 hours.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But we've kind of talked about this big middle and everybody's at the present time is in there, what I call the big middle, right? It's like, it's my life right now. And it's a big piece, big chunk of who I am.
Exactly.
Like, for both of you, you know, you kind of have like told the beginning story of the company, but tell me the beginning story of you. Like, I know you were born and you went to school and you graduated, you did this and that. But what kind of turned you on about life? I think it was baseball. But what made you like
you
grind and try to thrive?
Go ahead.
I'll tell you my story. So my story is kind of like, it's a grinder. It's like the underdog mentality, right?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of like underlying like things that happened to me growing up, right? So when I was first born, I was like extremely pigeon-toed.
I mean,
okay.
So you could tell that story because I'll tell it briefly.
My wife and I, he was about a year old, went to the doctor. The doctor said, we're going to have to cut both of the ankles and spread them out. And we said, no. I mean, our faith just said no. So went to another doctor in LA and he said, no, we're going to put him in this brace and eventually he'll be, fine. So my wife and I, oh God, he's going to be in this brace in his crib. And he's smiling and he was getting around with this brace.
That was me, by the way.
You know what? That was you too?
I have really bowed legs like this. Yeah. Like they made a circle. And I had to wear braces at night, like big steel braces. I don't remember it. I was just a baby. Yeah.
But this doctor said if we didn't have that operation, he may never be able to run. Yeah. And because he had that brace, he's still a little pigeon-toed, but it made him run fast.
Yeah.
That's funny.
You know,
That's great, that man. That's a great story.
That was the same thing with you too. Crazy, huh?
Yeah, and I was one of the fastest kids in my class.
Yeah.
And I don't think it had to do with the fact that you were defective. It had to do with the fact that I'm going to show you.
Exactly. I think it puts like a chip on your shoulder, even when you're that kind of young, right? And the next thing was like, growing up, like I had a speech impediment.
Yep.
I couldn't learn. Like my learning capabilities, like hooked on phonics, like I wasn't good at school. It was really hard for me to remember, to retain, just information and going through like some people for school. I was never good at that kind of stuff, like speaking and vocabulary and just stuff like that. And I started, I was made fun of like growing up, like, hey, in high school called Lobinisms on the billboard and just stuff like that. Yeah.
Oh, man.
And it comes back to that. And I'm like, okay, so, hey, let's learn how to, talk and it's crazy how my mom was always prayed like, hey, I want him to have a voice. And I think that's what's happening now. Like God's like, giving me a voice to speak up, because, I was the underdog. And then, playing baseball in high school, I would work my butt off. And my coach came up to me and he's like, yeah, you suck at hitting. You'll never hit.
Let me just tell you this, Bill. He didn't make varsity till
I made varsity sophomore year.
Yeah, sophomore year. And I wasn't one of those dads that every day I'm talking to the coach. I didn't talk to him for 2 years. His junior year, the coach had said that he couldn't hit. I went to him and I said, Coach, are you going to give him an opportunity to play next year? And he goes, well, if he doesn't know how to hit now, he's not going to know how to hit. We knew we had had him with a hitting coach for 2 years. Brandon was a lefty. He could hit. He was never given the opportunity. So summer ball, he got in. He ended up hitting 6 home runs, 5 triple, whatever it was, led the team. Wow. The coach came up to me and said, what happened to Brandon? I said, you let him play. That's the only thing I ever said to him. Senior year, he led everything. Made the all-star team.
All-state, all that.
All-state, MVP of the team. And
And like I said, I was on the team with, Bryce Harper was batting third and I was batting fourth.
Yeah.
I'm like, Harper's third. And then
he was on it.
Oh my gosh. That's crazy.
About it. He literally said, let your hitting prove it.
Yeah.
He had an arm. He was fast.
Yeah. But, going back.
But it was tough on him.
Yeah. But
we had to talk him through.
How can you overcome adversity? Right. Yeah. And like, if the coach is not playing you or you're not getting enough business today, right? How can you overcome that? And I think that's what I've been able to switch my mind shift from, just, you know, not being able to speak, pigeon toed, you know, coach telling us, hey, you're not good enough.
Yep.
People telling you, you're not good enough. And how can you change that to prove people wrong? Not in a bad way, but because you want to prove yourself that you can get to the next level, that you can produce at a high level. And, you know,
and nobody can tell you you can't do it.
Yeah.
Just stop listening to that voice.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
If you really knew Brandon in high school, you would just, people that know him, they go, of all the people that
all my friends now,
they think
it's my friend.
This
goes,
is Lobin.
He goes to me yesterday. He's like, because we're hanging out this week. He goes, I got to hang out with a celebrity. I'm just like, I'm,
you know,
just,
we just laugh, you know,
but it's just, it's
just,
and it comes down to this too. Like, people, I think they end up like, you know, nothing, but they end up just kind of floating through life.
Yeah.
And they're not, you know, striving to get better, or they're not challenging themselves. It's kind of like, and I was there when I was working at In-N-Out and got out of college. Like, I was a park ranger, had a college degree.
Ooh.
And I was looking at myself. I'm like, I'm just going through life 9 to 5.
Yeah.
You know, feeling exhausted. Is this what, you know, is this what life is all about? And it's like, I needed to find these other creative outlets, like I'm saying, to grow, to, you know, make a difference. And I think it's just trying to find who you are, where you want to be eventually, you know, moving forward.
Yeah. And, you know, I tell people who do work the 9-to-5 job, it's like, that's fine. That's totally cool. But do the things you love in the time you're not working, so that you can actually, you know, basically work pays for you to do your hobby. That's kind of how it's a mind shift thing. It's a mindset thing where it's like, don't just, like my mom worked her whole life for somebody else and worked her ass off and it killed her. I learned like hard work and persistence and that kind of stuff from her, but she never like questioned, should I be doing this? Or what if I had a hobby or, you know, a passion project or whatever, you know, like if you want to work, and a lot of people are workers, right?
You know,
make that, you know, the means to an end. And the end is, how do I get to fulfill my real life dream? Right. You could do both. I think you could do both. Not everybody's cut out to be a business owner. Those that are should. And those that aren't probably shouldn't, because it's very, very painful if you're not good at it and you don't get better. But yeah, everybody's got a place, man. And that's why I say everybody's got a story, and I just want to hear it.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like, you know, this is not for everybody. Like, that's
Like,
I see other friends where everybody, they're completely happy with their life. Like, and my motto is like, to each their own. Like,
You know, your goal is lower than somebody else's, God bless everybody.
That's the thing.
And you know,
everybody has unique personalities. And it's like, as long, I think you have to look at, as long as you're happy, right? Or, you know, as long as you feel like you're fulfilled, that's where I think your calling should be. Like, if you're deep inside and you're like working a job, and then you think about, maybe I could do this. Well, then work, but start doing those little things to get you to the next level, or to get you further along in business.
And I like to, you know, I tell my kids, you know, it's like, I want you to be happy, healthy, and successful. You get to define what successful means to you. I don't.
Absolutely.
Yep.
If success means to you, I have a roof over my head and I have a 9-to-5 job and I barely get by, but I'm happy. That's good.
Nope.
Do it.
That's it.
Nope. So you need my help doing something else, I'm there too. But you get to define your own success. And in the world we're in, it often seems like, well, you're not successful if you don't make X, or you aren't, you know, followed by this many people, or those are all external definitions of success, and they they're short-term motivators, but they can't last for forever. It's got to be like inside you. Like, what makes you happy? What makes you tick?
So
I will tell you one quick story about Brandon where he just made a huge breakthrough. And it's not something, you know, that I'm telling people to do, but is in college, he had this one guy who was a catcher that just was on his case every time. Stupid lob and doing this. And I always brought Brandon up to just turn the other cheek.
Yeah.
But there is a time where you can't turn the other cheek. So he was the catcher, was giving him a lot of trash. Brandon threw his bat behind him. The guy at his gear, he says, right now, in front of the team, let's go. Right now. Let's go. The guy backed down. And, you know, he was stocky, but Brandon, he would have died.
He had enough. But it was funny because that year, you know, we got it. So the next year, he wanted to follow me to the son of college that I got a scholarship to, and he didn't even make the team.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, but it's, I don't know. I don't know why he brought that up.
I just thought, yeah, because we're, you know what, Bill, you are so able to talk to you. It's just like you said in the beginning, let's have a conversation. This is fun for me.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I had an experience like that. It's not the same story, but it's like when I was right out of college, I wanted to start my own business. And I thought, what better way to do this than to go work for somebody who's already knows how to do this? And I could like learn. So I took a retail job in a sporting goods store because that's sort of the kind of thing I wanted to do.
Right.
And I had this asshole for a manager, and we just like butted heads. And I was young, he was a little bit older, but he was just like really hot-headed, and he was just always ragging on me, man. And one day I just said, fuck this, and I just went to the back room, and I'm like, what the fuck, man? What is your problem with me? And we had a conversation.
It was
fine since then. I mean, I think I had to like earn his respect.
You were the bigger person.
You know, and sometimes that's what you got to do. And sometimes you get your ass kicked, but that's just the way life is.
You know? Well, at least you stood up.
Yeah. I mean,
you know,
unless there's like firearms or knives involved, you're going to heal.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. And, but, you know, if you like, what a great conversation. Like, what we had, like, this was truly incredible, made our day. And just like to bring value and just to, you know, hear your story, get to know you, Bill. And like, it doesn't get better than this. And like, next time you're in Vegas, too, we could come down to the studio and just, we could record a podcast here.
Yeah, that'd be fun. That'd be fun.
You know, and just, you know, get some cool content and do this again for sure.
Yeah. Well, we'll definitely meet again in real life. That's for sure.
I'm going to end it. Well, I don't know if we're going to end it, but I want to just say, my dad, you know, he wasn't this guy that showed a lot of love, but he instilled in me, like you hear some other dads and parents, whatever you want to do, you can do it with hard work, integrity. And he was a real estate broker in Northern California. He kept telling me that till I started believing it, because I never believed it until I started believing it.
Right.
And I did the same with Brandon. Like I said, every day he'd come home. I just finished real estate. I'm exhausted. Hey, Dad, let's go hit. Okay. Every 365 days, we had the cages. You know?
Yeah.
And if you're not working hard at your craft and learning, why am I keep hitting it into the ground or flying out? You know, a few adjustments here and there. Want to learn. Seek the advice of people that are succeeding at a higher level. In anything you do, seek out those that you respect that are doing better.
And the last thing I'm going to touch on this, because I know you have to go, but is if you have that one person that believes in you, right, that has your back and is your mentor, that can get you through those trials
and tell you the truth.
You don't know what you're doing, and they can give you guidance and they can give you structure, and they say, hey, think this way or do it this way. I think that's a lot where a lot of people go wrong, is they don't have that number one person where they can count on, and the stress or the bundle like gets too much on their shoulders.
Or too much pride.
Yeah. And I, you know, with me and my dad, love him to death. And it's just like, he's been able to do that, you know?
Yeah.
Where it's like, he believed in me when,
oh,
we didn't even know what we were doing. And just like, that's the thing. If people can believe in you at the beginning, when you don't know what you're doing, and say, hey, you can do this, that's what you need. And I think that's how we can, you know, you end this conversation and, yeah, you know, that's all that it matters.
So. Yeah, that's awesome, man. Well, I thoroughly enjoyed this. I'm going to love watching this again and cutting it up in pieces and whatnot. I'll get it out there as soon as I can. I'm a one-man operation right now, so.
Yeah.
But I enjoy it, so. I really appreciate your time. So, sorry you had to go all the baloney about the equipment. I
appreciate you having it on your show. You know,
thank you for having us.
Oh, for sure.
This is awesome. Yeah, we enjoyed you at the place.
Yeah, it was fun, man. Watching you guys do it. I would have never guessed you hadn't been doing this just but a couple of years, really.
Yeah.
I would have never guessed. You guys are pros, and I'd love to see you guys, like, and I know you will. You'll be super successful, and you'll be getting more work than you know what to do with, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Right.
Success for us, though, honestly, is helping impact people's lives.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, if you didn't, people wouldn't hire you to the extent that they do. Yeah. So,
nope.
You know, you're not in the commodity business. You're not selling widgets. You know, not everybody can do what you do. So,
right.
You know, the talents and teamwork and persistence and dedication and all that stuff is your product.
Right.
So, yeah. And nobody else can do it just like you do.
All right. Really appreciate it. And, you know, you got to go. I know it's past the time. So,
yeah. Thanks, man. Thanks, guys.
Take care.
Take care.